This is Emory University Sound Science, conversations on transforming health and healing. Coming up on Sound Science, Claire Stirk talks about why 1 in 5 Americans still smokes and what she's trying to do to change that. Stirk is Candler Professor of Behavioral Sciences and Health Education at Rollins School of Public Health. She and her colleagues are talking with smokers to find out why they keep lighting up, despite smoking's risks, obstacles, and stigma. The researchers' aim? Devising interventions that help people quit. Claire Stirk.
What is it about the 20% of people that continue to smoke, particularly if you realize that smoking has gotten much more expensive? Cigarettes are much harder to get. You know, there was no longer the street corner you can walk to and there was like a machine you can pull them out of. In the grocery store, if you want to buy cigarettes, you have to go to a special counter.
To find out what's behind their stubborn habit, Stirk and her colleagues are conducting motivational interviews with smokers from diverse ethnic, socioeconomic, and educational backgrounds.
We have a series of questions that are just social demographic, smoking history, like people's first cigarette, how those smoking patterns have changed over time, a series of questions on norms and attitudes, their efforts in terms of quitting.
In other words, researchers are putting smokers' habits and behavioral patterns into context, instead of looking at them as a homogeneous group who simply refuse to quit.
I mentioned earlier, you have people who began smoking when smoking was a status symbol. And for them, quitting means something very different than a person who is younger who began smoking while there already was a lot of societal pressure to not smoke. People, to be fair, who we have interviewed who say, you know, I don't want to quit. I think that from my perspective, the benefits I got from smoking outweigh the negative consequences of smoking.
Others say Stirk quit smoking but later relapse.
Typically, it's a main event in people's life. And it's a main negative event in people's lives. Somebody dies, got kicked out of my house, you know, failed some educational achievement, lost a relationship. So you have people who are eager to quit, who have attempted to quit. So who have attempted to quit, who have failed. When you listen to the narratives, you can understand what it means to them and you can see how you can start moving there to possible interventions.
But you also have people who get stuck. They intend to quit, but want to wait until some point in the future.
The woman who might say, I will quit once I get pregnant. Or somebody who will say, I will quit once I get a job. You know, I will quit once my partner quits or my friends quit. So there is an intention to quit, but not quite followed through with an immediate action.
One of the answers that can come out of the study, says Stirk, is that once researchers really understand what smoking means to people, they can come up with interventions that are less punitive and more effective at getting people to quit.
We like to not learn from clinicians and not learn from policymakers and not learn from public health experts. We want to learn from people that are current smokers, what their experience is like, and help that guide us and understand why they continue to smoke. And then maybe we can figure out what we can do to bring smoking rates down even a little bit more.
I'm Robin Tricolis, and this is Emory University's Sound Science.